Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me this week is Hari Krishnamuran. Hey, Hari.
Yeah. Hi. Hi, Robert.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Hari is a PM, a program manager on the Visual Studio client team, and today you're here to show us the XAML tooling in Visual Studio.
Yes.
Now, of course, XAML has been in Visual Studio for quite some time. Those of us who have been using XAML since the early days remember that there really wasn't a lot of tooling, and you spent your whole time typing XAML by hand. Some of us still do that because that's what we're used to. But it turns out that there's been tremendous progress in the XAML tooling in Visual Studio. 2012 shipped with great XAML tooling for Windows Store apps, and then 2013 extended it across the board. We've we've touched on it in a couple episodes before, but what we'll do today is just focus on it, and you can show us all the goodness that's there, and then maybe we'll talk about stuff that's coming. Or I'll ask you questions, and you can punt.
So I want to start off with, as usual, project templates. You know, this is one of the things that we ship, helps people easily develop apps. So I'm going to go to C Sharp, and as you can see in store apps, we do have Windows apps now, universal apps, and Windows phone apps. I think we'll have a different session to talk about universal in general. So let's just focus on Windows apps. In Windows apps, we have a new template called the Hub template, which is it's very similar. If you've seen the new Bing News app, that is exactly what a Hub app looks like. Right. And now we have a template that helps you develop apps like that. And the traditional, the things that we shipped before, like Grid, Split, and Blank, is also available. Yep. Let's just take a look at Hub app first, right? So I'm just going to click on Hub app and hit OK.
Dimitri, you know Dimitri Leon.
Yes.
He spent a huge amount of time writing his own template. And then when he got it pretty much right, then he discovered that you guys had built what did.
Actually, I was working with him closely on that. I had sent for code review, and so it was really great. But you know, Windows came with this really good control.
I always love telling that story.
Unfortunate. But he did a great job. So this is a new Hub template. As you can see, we have folder for assets. We have a common folder still, unfortunately, but you can see that we have really reduced the number of CS files that are shipping, the number of types you're shipping. There is no more layout aware page, which a lot of people liked, a lot of people didn't. People want to be part of platforms. So we have kind of removed all that and made it much more simpler. We have basic navigation helper that helps you, you know, save state between different pages, help navigate. We have observable dictionary. We have relay command, which is a standard in any MVVM model.
So just as a note, so we're talking now about things that are in 2013. If you hit on something that was specifically introduced in Update 1 or specifically introduced in Update 2, call it out. But unless you do, for the audience watching at home, this is all 2013 stuff.
Yes,
it's been in there since RTM.
Yes, it has been there.
All right.
So then we have Suspension Manager, which helps, you know, suspend, resume, terminate, that kind of operations. And finally, the data model. It's a bit different. We don't have that giant sample data source file anymore, you know, where we had separate lines for loading groups and this thing.
That thing was just way hard to figure out.
Yeah, we've actually introduced JSON as a first-class citizen for sample data now. So we basically consume the JSON file and sample data source, and this is what is used to display the Hub page, the data on the Hub page. So it's pretty sweet. You know, JSON is a very standard format. For example, let's say you're working on Flixer API, right? The API itself returns a JSON file. So it's very easy for you to just download a file and hook it up to your view and just use that as a sample data model.
And that's not just a web thing. You know, people may have originally come across JSON as stuff that web guys did, but it's just a data format.
Yes.
Whether you're doing XAML or JavaScript, you should look at it, learn it, and think about adopting it.
Absolutely. So that's, in a sense, what the new Hub app is. So key things to remember, you know, no more layout aware page. It's very simple right now. And JSON is a first-class data source.
Right.
Now, and one more thing. You'll see that there's no styles.xaml anymore. We have moved all those styles to the platform. So like title text block style or, you know, a button style, whatever you had before, all that is now available inside the platform.
Yep.
So now getting on to a bit more interesting features, as you know, we invested heavily into the XAML editor this time. We did a whole bunch of features when we got in RTM, things like IntelliSense for data binding, resources, go to definition, new better algorithms for completing IntelliSense.
Right.
So we'll show a quick demo of all that.
The go to definition is awesome, especially since there's no more styles.xaml. So, you know, it used to be you wanted to see what a built-in style was. You could uh-huh. go to the styles.xaml and search for it, uh-huh. which was, you know, kind of manual, but you could find it. Uh-huh. Now that's gone, so you're like, oh, where is everything? But you can just go to definition.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to show a couple of quick demos on go to definition and everything.
Okay.
So hopefully it makes it better if I just do it 100 to 150%.
Yeah, I'm just going to hit 150. Let's get the font a little bit bigger. There we go.
Yeah. So as you know, data template is a system type. It comes from, you know, it comes from Windows WinMD. So what if I want to inspect the property data template? You know, traditionally I have to go open, you know, object browser and search for it. Mm-hmm. All you have to do now is hit F12 on data template. The first time takes a bit time to load up object browser, but it is happening. And you can see that we open the object browser, we select data template, and you can see its methods, properties,
cool.
or its fields. The second one, this even works for properties. If you want to inspect hide property, hit F12. And highlights the hide property in the framework element type. Now moving on, you can see in this particular border there is a background and it's set to a theme resource called list view item placeholder background theme brush.
What color is that?
Yes, and we have no clue what that is. It's definitely from the platform, you know, definitely that big a name. So I'm just gonna hit.
So you know what would be cool is if you hovered over it and it actually showed you the color.
I know.
It's and the RGB values. That would be cool.
I know. actually, one of those is one of the feature requests I believe on User Voice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys really want you know, new features, please go to User Voice and add a new idea, vote on it, and we definitely look at that as a source of inspiration when we pick up new features.
Or you should be able to. Somebody could build an extension that does that, right?
Oh yeah,
you could easily look that up.
Probably.
But it'd be better if we put it in the product.
I know. Makes sense. So I'm just going to hit F12 here again.
But this works very well as well.
Yeah, so it takes you to genbrick.xaml, which is in Windows Kits folder, which is a part of Windows SDK, and it highlights the right style.
And then what's the easiest way to see what FF3D3D3D is? Because I've memorized most of them, but I haven't
memorized probably
that
web.
One.
Probably the web is an easy way, a quick way to preview, or you can use a property inspector, copy paste it.
Okay.
But I think just copying in Google, I think, or Bing, it's going to be much better.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that'd be another feature to have.
Yes.
You hover over a color hash and it shows you.
Exactly. So we showed, you know, go to definition of a system type. Now I want to see if it takes to a local resource,
mm-hmm.
you know, something I have declared in XAML. So what I'm going to do is you can see there is a static resource app name, which mm-hmm. is something I've declared locally. And if I hit F12 there, it takes you there
Perfect.
As well. So we support pretty much go to definition every type
Do
property.
Do we have peak definition on those?
No.
Oh.
Yes.
There's another one.
I can see we're working on it, but don't know when it's going to be out.
Okay.
Yeah, but we definitely would like to peak.
Yeah. Is it any harder to do that in XAML than it was in code?
Yeah, in some ways, yes, because if you look at it, if you take, if I'm on string, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hit F4, the property inspector comes up. And you can basically see the properties of the application type. But in peak, do we show the properties of that style you're seeing? So we need to figure some things out in that kind of experience, right? What do you do when we show resource and stuff from different documents? Do the property inspector show those properties or not? So we're still working through some of those issues.
Okay.
But hopefully we should have that resolved and you know, get it out there as soon as possible.
Okay.
And another thing I want to show you is I'm just going to add the final go to definition feature. You guys can discover everything else later. I'm just going to add a new user control. Where is user control? So I'm just going to add a user control. I'm going to build this project.
Actually, let's bump up the fonts permanently. Go to the quick launch in the upper right.
Yeah.
Type font. And then just jack up the font to like 14.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite all-time features in the product.
And the quick launch, right?
Yeah. That is like my number one tip of all time.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's pretty fast. So I'm just going to open the toolbox now. And you can see, hey, when we build, we show the user control. I'm just going to drag and drop to this page. Now something cool. What if I want to do F12 here? There are two places for me to go, either the XAML file or the backing CS, right?
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
when I hit the F12, we show you both.
Nice.
And you can choose, hey, I want to go to the XAML, it takes you to XAML.
Mm-hmm.
I want to the code, it takes me to the code.
Very cool.
So we do the same thing for custom controls as well. We'll mm-hmm. show you the default style that it has, as well as a code. And you can choose to go whichever one that you would like. And Let's do a bit more. One final thing I want to show you is, let's see, okay. You see a binding title over here?
Yes.
Right? I'm going to hit F12. And cool. It actually takes you the property definition cool. of that type
yep.
in code. So that pretty much completes most of our GoToDefinition features that we introduced in 2013. Now
and
let's
again,
go
these are across the board. These are in Windows Store, WPF, Silverlight,
yes.
You name it.
And yeah, even show system colors, you know, system yep. brushes in WPF
yep.
as well.
Phone
exactly like we do it here.
Everywhere, right.
Yeah, the same. Now, let's take a look at another feature that we did was, as you know, was IntelliSense for resources, right? So I have hub page. And let's just find where, hey, there's a style definition. I'm just going to delete this guy over here. And what if I wanted to find a resource, I have to go find the name, remember the name, type it up. But now, if I just hit the enter,
yep.
we'll show all the properties of all the styles for that particular type that you're currently, mm-hmm. you know.
And if you hover over that, does it give you any information?
No.
Is there information to be had?
No. We would really like to show a preview, but we wanted to make this...
Or some way of commenting it
yes.
or something would be interesting.
Yeah. One of the reasons why we didn't do that was we wanted to make the typing experience really fast.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to do a preview because all this code is executing in the sandbox process,
yeah.
we have to talk to the designer, and that makes things a bit slow.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
If it's... You don't want to necessarily show all the properties. You don't want to necessarily show the color.
Uh-huh.
But something like comment would be nice.
Yeah, I
right?
think color, it's solvable because color values are pretty similar
colors,
across every platform.
Yeah.
But resources, no, we require to
right.
talk. We need to talk to the designer process. Might make things slow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we want to make it really fast.
Or maybe you show basic information, then you got three dots. And
yes.
if you want to take the time
uh-huh.
to see more, then that's
uh-huh.
optional. Then you've signed
yeah.
up to wait for it.
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely, I agree.
Yep.
So here I can go select, let's say, I'm just going to select, you know, the normal style,
mm-hmm.
and I can complete that.
Yeah.
The same thing works even for system styles. So let's say I'm just going to add
up. Given the length of style names, that's so handy to
I know. So if I hit static resource,
yep.
you can see we bring up every system resource out there, and I can complete that using that
yep.
as well. So that way, it is pretty awesome. So that is IntelliSense for resources. I'm just going to show you a quick feature that we added like at the last minute in the release. It was requested here and there in blogs, but we realized that it's pretty useful. I'm just going to go to Tools, Options, and Fonts and Colors, perfect place. You know, the XAML UI designer, you couldn't change the artboard background before in Visual Studio. So it kind of looked sometimes if you have like transparent colors and stuff,
yeah.
it could bleed over. Now you could just select artboard background. Let's just select maroon and something horrible like all the, and you can see the background changed.
Oh,
so there's something
okay.
new we introduced. A lot of people don't know about it, but something that we just created in the last day.
Yeah, okay.
So we can change artboard colors. I'm just going to go back and revert it. It's going to give me a headache. So here we go.
So what's the practical application of that, distinguishing between screens or
yeah,
parts
for example,
of the project?
Let's say my background is transparent.
Okay.
So if I, let's remove... I can unfortunately remove the background for this guy, but for some reason I'm developing control, background is transparent, everything bleeds through, the text
okay.
bleeds through, you can't really see anything because
Got
it's
it.
So light.
Okay.
You change the color, you know, it's easier
mm-hmm.
for you. So that's the reason that we did that. We'll move on to a couple of other typing features. So, something...
And that's at the Visual Studio level, not the individual page level, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You can get a change for Visual Studio in
yep.
entirety.
Got it.
So, you know, it's a very common mistake when I'm typing. I type a button, and, or let's say, sorry, I'm just going to type a button, and I gently complete like that.
Mm.
And sometimes I don't really need the end tag. It kind of dirties my XAML. Right now, all you have to do is do this, and we remove
nice.
The end tag.
Okay. That's cool.
And let's say... This is a grid, and for some reason, I don't want a grid panel. I want to make this a stack panel, right? I change stack panel, hit enter. Before, it's kind of painful. You had to go manually change it, but now we automatically change your end tag as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we introduce a couple of these quick fixes for you. Makes life much easier while typing. Another thing is,
so
unfortunate.
You want to know my number one request?
Uh-huh.
Control-A-F. Lines up the properties.
Oh, yes.
Please. Well, that and touch scrolling.
Touch
scrolling, you've heard of, but the Control-A-F to line up the properties.
Uh-huh.
Please add that.
Yes, I will definitely make a note. I think in the next releases, we'll probably look into touch as something that we'll really care about and try
because
to fit that.
Because if you like your properties to line up and then you add another layer, you have a stack panel, you put it inside a stack panel or something, there's just no easy way to line them up.
Yeah, I agree.
And you spend a huge amount of time manually doing it.
We do have properties that lets you at least put it on a same line.
Yeah, Control AF will line up the elements, but it doesn't line up the properties.
Interesting. We do have an option to put each attribute on its own line.
The attribute. Really?
It is there. Let's just take a look. I'm pretty sure. I do own the editor, so it would be, let's take a look. Formatting, right? General.
Position each attribute on a separate line. Okay, so if you select that.
If I select that and I go back and I do a Control KD, done. See?
Magic. Oh my God, it exists?
Yes, it does. It was being from 2010, actually, Cider Days.
I should have had you on the show 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it's been there.
Thank you.
No problem.
You've just saved me hours of... Sweet. See, this is exactly why we have this show. This is exactly why this show exists.
Yeah, you get a tiny...
to teach people stuff they didn't know. No. That is awesome.
Okay. So, moving on to comments, right? Unfortunately, XML does not support nested comments like other languages, so it's very painful if you want to comment line of code, if there's comments in between. So let's have a grid. I'm just going to have put a button inside. And for now, I'm just going to comment, let's say, I'm just going to comment this guy. Mm-hmm. Hit Control KC, commented, no problem. But what if I wanted to comment this whole block before I had to manually uncomment it and then do it? But now when you do it, we break the comments apart so that, we can't support nested comments, unfortunately, but at least we can do the right thing to prevent you from getting into issues.
Yep.
So this is what we do.
Cool.
The next one is code snippets being there in C#, VB, C++ for all time. We have added support for that. So when I do a Control KX, you can see a whole bunch of snippets. To be transparent, the first in Visual Studio inside the box, we only have one snippet that is called the tag. Mm-hmm. But we have published a CodePlex project that has a whole bunch of snippets. So we wrote some code that automatically generates snippets for styles. So you don't really have to do that. Sometimes a designer go to edit template.
Right.
I can just go here. I'm just going to add paste.resources. And I'm going to do Control KX. And let's say this is store apps, right? 8.1. I want to add app bar button style. I just can add it directly.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's in CodePlex. We'll put a pointer to that in the description of the show. That's good to know.
Yeah. So we have generated styles for phone, for 8.0, 8.1, and some WPF. So it's very useful.
Cool.
And we also support surround with commands as well. So if I have this, I hope this is the right grid. I have this grid, and I just want to surround with. I can just add a tag and then go. Stack panel, we support the end tag changing, escape, and I'm good.
Yep.
So that's it. That's what's code snippets. And then, another thing people really don't know in Visual Studio, are not aware of, is what we call the source code support. I can't show a proper demo here because I don't have two monitors. But what if I wanted to have a designer and the editor on a separate monitor, right? What I can do is, this item page is open. I'm just going to hit save. I'm going to right click, and I'm going to say open with. And source code, hit no. Sorry. What is this? So it opens a new instance of the same file. So now you could move this guy over to a different monitor and code.
That is cool.
Yeah. It's been there for forever, but a lot of people are not aware of it.
Because what I usually do, I get the split view here, and then you got to minimize it and select the XAML tag because, I still, to be honest, spend most of my time in the XAML.
Uh-huh.
I increasingly use the designer, but, old habits are hard to break.
I totally agree.
But that's a cool way to do it.
Yeah, so this is, you know, somewhat
and even if you didn't have it on separate monitors, you just had them side by side.
Yeah,
nice.
Even that's useful, yeah. So that's a source code support. And I want to show you some new, you know, IntelliSense completion features. So by default, we only matched what you type with the start of an start of a string. Mm-hmm. Now we do a whole bunch more. So let's start with, I accidentally made a mistake while typing, like border. Mm-hmm. I missed an R, but we still select border for you. So we did some kind of funny fuzzy matching there. Let's say I want to get an app bar button. I can just do ABB, mm-hmm. and we select app bar button. If I want to just get everything with bar in it, and I hit bar, we just filter with everything in bar. Okay. So we support all sorts of like camel case, substring, fuzzy matching.
So what if you type panel?
If you type panel,
all of the panels.
Yes, it will. So the only problem here is we don't support filter
exactly. Ah, okay. So you can't type panel to get stack panel, dock panel.
Unfortunately, no. For that, we need to filter the entire list with things that start or end or has panel in between. But we don't support the IntelliSense filtering feature. Okay. We only support the start. That's another huge request from customers. Support C Sharp the filtering feature.
Yeah. Okay.
So. And so that's it. That's the majority of XAMLLator features. I'm just going to move on to the final XAMLLator feature I'm going to show. That is IntelliSense for data binding, which has been also a heavily. It was actually the highest requested feature in the XAML user voice. I think we had like 900 votes or something on it. So in order to do that,
in data binding when it crashes because you bonded the wrong thing, it fails quietly, right?
Actually, we don't have a lot of votes in that. I think
really?
It's being tracked as a part of platform ask instead of ours, like a tooling ask.
That's not something you guys would fix.
No, this was like
the
highest
request. I wonder which of the two has more votes.
I think the silent failing is something they do have, the is binding tracing enabled, right? You can set that property, see that on output window, or subscribe to the binding failed event.
Right.
So we do have support for that.
I just want it to crash. I just want to see an exception dialogue, personally.
Yeah.
None of this silent stuff.
Okay. So this is a movies app, something that we built as a part of our doc footing, and basically shows a list of movies from the Flickster data source. You can see that there is no pictures, no text, nothing. It's because I haven't really set up my data template. So I have an item template over here, movie item template. I'm just going to hit F12. It opens the right data template that is declared in app.xaml. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start typing text equals binding. And all the data context properties that were set on the grid view is now flown over due to app to app.xaml. And you can go ahead, and I'm going to select display title. I'm going to go to the image, source, binding, and profile, I believe. Yeah.
Perfect.
And as you can see, the data template now loads up with this actual data from the live web servers, by the way.
I don't remember seeing that movie in the Oscars.
It's just something new, I think. So now you can see all the movies are now showing up. So we support the whole data binding for everything except for finances stuff. Mm-hmm. That's available in WPF. That's the only thing we don't support. But this feature is supported across stores, Silverlight, phone, and WPF.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So that's it for, IntelliSense for data binding. How long was it now?
20-some-odd minutes. We got plenty of time.
We got plenty of time, right?
We got a captive audience. They're not going anywhere.
So we can move on to Blend then?
Sure.
Okay. So let me just see. We have rulers and guides. So we'll probably get rulers and guides and behaviors now.
Okay.
After that, everything else we can show in the second part with universal apps.
Sure.
You can do universal apps and diagnostics.
Excellent.
Does that make sense? Actually, universal apps probably a 20-minute section by itself. It's huge. We can do diagnostics separately.
Okay.
So for the next part of the demo, let's go open Blend. So I'm going to go to movies and say open Blend. We invested a lot, as usual, in our designer features as well, not just in the editor or other features in Visual Studio. By the time it's loading, I'm going to show one more quick feature. I can't seem to stop. Just going to open some file. I'm going to go to View. Where's Toolbox? Yeah, on Toolbox, and I'm going to view our document outline. Unfortunately, in the last release, we couldn't support a drag and drop from the toolbox into the document outline. You don't have to drag and drop every time.
Okay.
So you can now you can just drag and drop and create it.
Ooh, nice.
So that's another one of the last minute features that we did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Blend is now open. Perfect. I'm just going to open one of my views. For the purpose of this demo, I'm just going to create a new blank page. So right at the bat, you notice we have changed a couple of things. You now have rulers,
mm-hmm.
right? Like any design tool out there, like Photoshop, Illustrator, we have introduced rulers here. Even more, we can now create guides. All I have to do is drag and drop from the left side to create a vertical guide, and from the top to create a horizontal guide.
Okay.
This is super useful because let's say I'm going to build let's say a login page, right? So you have a text block there that has username. You have another text block at this point that has the password. And I'm going to create a line here. And you'll have two text boxes over here that is for the username and password again. So if you want to create something like that, I can just go to text. And as you can see, we actually let you, it actually snaps to the guides.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty awesome. That way, I don't have to really think about what margins and stuff I want to put. I can just get the guides from a designer, like I wanted it this close, and just drag, drop my text block over there, and it just works.
Now, does that also happen in Visual Studio, or is that just a Blend thing?
It's just a Blend thing.
Okay.
Rulers and guides are just a Blend thing. So I can, another cool thing in Blend, you can, if you hold on Alt and drag a control, you can make a copy of it as well. So just going to. Why is that not working? See? Alt drag creates a copy. So I create a second text block over there. I'm going to add a text box over here. And I can drag it to snap here. Alt drag it and create another one and drag it over here.
Okay.
So that way it's pretty cool. You can instantly create a snap to different guides.
Do you think over time that this type of capability will be both in Blend and in Visual Studio?
We need to differentiate these products in a way. Like we think Blend is a place that it should go for all design tasks. That means, precision authoring, precision layout. And Visual Studio is something like the XAML editor you should use for quick fixes or early debugging. You find an issue, you fix that. But for code design tasks, we think it should come to Blend. And these kind of features, we don't think we should add to ES at this point. Another thing that we did is basically snapping to not to just the out visuals, but to the content. Let's say I want to push in my text box and text block text the same line. Right now, you probably have to put them together and type like tiny negative margins to get it right. But in Blend, you can just drag it over. And you can see that we now snap to the content. Like you basically can. The problem is every Jupyter control has what we call visual bounds. Like the focus visual rectangles that's used for keyboard focus. And that takes like 2 pixels outside every control. So it's very difficult to align controls up properly because they overlap. But using Blend now, we have added that feature that you can just snap to the control, its content, instead of its focus visuals.
Okay.
So that is pretty cool. A classic example would be, let's say I have a checkbox. And I can basically snap it together before there would be some space in between. So. We also have are shipping a whole bunch of guides as a part of the product. So if you could load guides, you can see that we have shipped the basic guides for different kind of pages that we think that you'll build, like item page. So I can directly go ahead, hit items page, and open, and we load the right guides for you to create an item page on your own.
And so what are the guides? They're predefined guidelines?
Yes, yes. For item page in a hub template, you'll have a thing called item page, right?
I see.
So here is where your this is where your back button should be. This is where your title should be.
And do we also ship an example, a finished example, so that you can see what this would wind up looking like?
Absolutely. So I can just go new item. Let me add items page. It needs to add some stuff. And if I just manage load guys and add items page. See, perfectly lines up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So you can create your own guides. You can save your own guides. We support all kinds of management. And finally, let's move to behaviors. Unfortunately, we couldn't deliver behaviors in 8.0. There were some platform constructs that have made our life very easy. That was not available initially, but now it is. So we have gone ahead and built a new behaviors SDK. We have pretty much changed the API because we wanted to have a fresh start. We wanted our API to be Venati friendly, Venati compliant. We wanted behaviors SDK to support native apps without having to use managed code. Okay. So in the light of all this, we redesigned our behaviors a bit. There are no more concept of triggers, behaviors, and actions. You just have behaviors and actions. Triggers and behaviors are now
and again,
one
this
and the
is
same.
For store apps?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But not for, this isn't a WPF Silverlight
thing.
This is
we
a store
still
apps
have
thing.
The, you know, the
right.
traditional, a-
okay,
the old API
yep.
for WPF Silverlight and everything. This is just to make it Venati compliant and be used across both managed and native applications.
Right.
So we simplified the API quite a bit as well. So I'm going to show a quick demo of using behaviors.
And again, is this a Blend thing or a Visual Studio thing?
Can do in both.
Okay,
for example,
cool.
if I'm in Visual Studio right now, we ship these the SDKs as part of a default install of Visual Studio. Doesn't matter if you're an Express, Pro, Premium, Ultimate. If I go to References, add a reference, go to 8.1, go to extensions, and I can see a behaviors
Got
SDK
it.
Sample.
Okay.
So if you're in a managed product, we will select the managed version. But if you're in native, we'll select the native SDK for you.
Cool.
And just hit OK and hit OK, mm-hmm. and it's added. So in VS, you have to do this, you know, this special step of adding a reference explicitly. But in Blend, let's say I have a button, right? All I have to do is go to assets, behaviors are there. And what I want to do is change the background of this page to red or something on when I click it, right? And this is going to change property action on the button. At this point, we add the reference for you. We add the event trigger behavior for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we add a change property action for you. And we set everything up. So all you need to do is go select the target object, select as the grid, go to the property name, select background, hit change the value to red. That's it. So what's going to happen is when I click this button, my background or my grid is going to change to red.
Hmm.
So when I select the event trigger behavior, you can figure out that we figured out you've been attaching to a button. So we
okay.
selected click for you automatically because we think that's going to be obviously the element of your choice, event of your choice. So I'm going to hit F5.
Okay.
It gets built. You have a button and becomes red. So it's that easy to add interactivity to your applications without having to write one line of code.
And that call method action, does that give you a way to hook up a command if you're using MVVM?
Yes, so we have a separate one for that. We have
the invoke command
action.
The one that says invoke command.
Yeah, and this time we actually, there is this famous, you know, Laurent Bunyan,
uh-huh.
he has his favorite command, you know, his all-time favorite command called event to command,
yep.
which allowed you to, you know, convert the event args parameter to something that your command can expect. We actually took that idea, worked with him, and added that to the default invoke command action.
Okay.
So you don't have to install MVVM Lite just for getting this particular
right.
functionality. So if you go to invoke command action, you can see that we have the command. We take a parameter. You can take a
okay.
converter. You can
yep.
take a converter language and a converter parameter.
Does that also work on controls that don't implicitly support commands, like grid views and list views?
No. You still have to
okay.
bind them,
okay.
You know, selection changed event, you'll
yep.
have to
okay.
you know, listen to that and bind that to an actual command.
Okay.
But as you can see, we have a, you know, a improved version of the input command action.
Yeah.
We have the standard things like navigate to page action, go to state, data trigger, event trigger, control storyboard, and call method action.
Mm-hmm.
So the only difference between the managed and native version of the SDK is in managed, we have reflection. All these things are done through reflection, right?
Right.
Like for all, when you actually create a change property action in code, all we know is that it's a string, a background. For us to figure out the background type, we actually do some kind of reflection. A native reflection is not available. So some some actions that require reflection are not available, like the change property action.
Okay.
And the event trigger behavior only supports the most popular 15 events or 10 events. It doesn't support every event like the managed version does because
okay.
we just can't use reflection.
Right.
So
yeah.
that's the difference between native and managed implementations.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else before we wrap up?
No, hopefully the second part we can show you more diagnostic and debugging features that's available okay. for store apps right now.
Cool.
So that'll be the focus of the next series, the biggest part of the talk.
So you showed us a lot of cool things. You, in the course of the time, showed me that something that I've been desperately wanting was already in the product. Hopefully you guys saw a bunch of stuff that you didn't know was in there and that you liked. We saw some Visual Studio. We saw some Blend. Mm-hmm. Awesome stuff. Thanks for coming on and showing us this.
No problem. A pleasure to be here.
Great.
Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed that and that that helps you in your XAML endeavors. And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.